You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded on Sundays at the 11 a.m. Mass at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Columbia, Illinois. For more information on Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer.
Our associate pastors are Father Gary Hogan and Father Eric Wagner.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
The story is told about two psychiatrists who were having coffee together during their annual convention. And one asked the other, "So tell me, what was your most difficult case?" And the other psychiatrist replied, "I once had a patient who lived in a pure fantasy world, claiming that he had a wildly rich uncle in South America who was going to leave him a fortune. All day long, he waited for a make-believe letter to arrive from a fictitious attorney. He never went out or did anything. He just sat around all day and waited for that letter to arrive." And his colleague asked him, "Well, what was the result?" And his friend replied, "It was an 8-year struggle, but I finally cured him. Then that stupid letter came." From the time of King David and the prophet Nathan, down through the era of Isaiah and the other prophets, people were waiting for centuries for a Messiah to arrive. And then someone appears out of the desert, clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, eating locusts and wild honey, claiming that the Messiah had finally arrived. And as Mark told us last Sunday in his gospel, people did not think he was a wild man, but rather they flocked to John the Baptist to receive a baptism of repentance. In fact, as John's gospel account today tells us about John the Baptist's arrival on the scene, many thought that he was the one. And so John the Baptizer strives to make it crystal clear to everyone who asks that he was not the Christ, but that he was preparing the way for the Messiah, who was already in their midst, but whom they had not yet recognized. On this third Sunday of Advent, traditionally called Gaudete Sunday, meaning to rejoice, we are reminded that the waiting for the coming of a Messiah is over, and that is the reason for our rejoicing, and that is the source of our joyful hope. But we live in a world and at a time where there may seem like there is little rejoicing and a dire need for lots of hope and joy. The newspapers and daily TV and radio news reports tell us about random acts of violence and murders in our local communities, abductions of little children, new allegations of sexual abuse of children, rampant political and economic corruption at home and abroad, double-digit employment, wars taking young American lives daily, and continued fears about the bad economy. And then, just for good measure, this past week we can throw in the news that our favorite baseball team lost their star player. And now our liturgy tells us to rejoice. We may be apt to think that the church is the one who has gone wild, who needs to see a psychiatrist. But the good news that we can often overlook is that the Messiah has come and can set us free from the M-E-S-S, the mess we're in. In fact, if our lives were not in a mess, we would not need a Messiah. The church calls us to rejoice, not because all is right with us and the world and we couldn't be better or feel happier, but rather because we have reason to hope in the one whom God has sent, as Isaiah the prophet foretold, to bring glad tidings, to heal, to proclaim liberty, release, and a year of favor. The good news we are invited to remember and reflect upon this Advent season is that we need not be afraid, because God is with us, Emmanuel. But what John the Baptizer said 2,000 years ago can still be true today. There is one among you whom you do not recognize. As a line from a once popular country song put it, when life gets you down, spread a little love around. Like John the Baptizer, we must not put the focus upon ourselves, but rather upon the other in others. For when our love is godlike and Christ-centered, that is, selfless instead of selfish or self-serving, then we can find that genuine joy that God calls us to in life as we recognize the one who dwells among us in human flesh, in our daily living, in the ordinary people and places of our lives. Genuine joy is not just an emotional, superficial feeling, but rather an awareness that God's ever-present love is greater and stronger than any mess we're in. As we celebrated our parish's patronal feast day this past Thursday, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, we heard in the gospel for that feast that the angel Gabriel said to Mary, after announcing to her that God had chosen her to be the mother of God's Son, the angel said, "Nothing will be impossible for God." That indeed is good news, worth remembering and rejoicing in today and every day.